First reading is from Numbers chapter 18. So the Lord said to Moses, or said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear iniquity connected with the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear iniquity connected with your priesthood. And with you bring your brothers also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may join you and minister to you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. They shall keep guard over you and over the whole tent, but shall not come near to the vessels of the sanctuary or to the altar, lest they and you die. They shall join you and keep guard over the tent of meeting for all the service of the tent, and no outsider shall come near you. And you shall keep guard over the sanctuary and over the altar, that there may never again be wrath upon the people of Israel. And behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the people of Israel. They are a gift to you, given to the Lord to do the service of the tent of meeting. And you and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood for all that concerns the altar and that is within the veil, and you shall serve. I give you your priesthood as a gift, and any outsider who comes near shall be put to death. O Lord, have mercy on us." Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 7. "And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath, but this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever.' This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. O Lord, have mercy upon us." Our third reading is from John chapter 17. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a sight it must have been to see Moses' brother Aaron all decked out in his high priestly garb, his vestments, his garments. In Exodus 28, this is where the Lord himself, God Almighty, commands how he wants Aaron to be dressed as he is serving as Israel's high priest. And his commands about the high priest's special clothing, the garments that he must wear, his vestments, they're quite particular, maybe even a bit strange to us. And that's why I've included in the bulletin, if you wanted to, the insert, you could take a look there. I want to talk about what it says in Exodus 28. First, if you look, there's the ephod, which is the apron, I guess you could say. It is a longer apron. It's an ornate apron, a beautiful, ornate apron. And it's made of gold. It's made of gold with two gold shoulder pieces, each engraved with onyx stone and the six names of the sons of Israel on it, joined together with blue and scarlet yarns and fine linen. The second there is the breastplate, or the breast piece there, matching the ephod, made of gold, of course, with the blue and the scarlet yarns and the fine linens. And there are 12 different stones set in gold settings on the breastplate. And the translations that we have today, we don't actually know what those stones were, but they were precious stones. We can be assured of that. Beautiful, precious stones, even though we might not be 100% sure what those were. Then there were the two gold rings that attached that to the ephod. Then there was the robe underneath, all blue and purple and scarlet, pomegranates on the bottom. You can see on the bottom of the robe there's pomegranates, and interspersed in between the pomegranates there's golden bells that would ring. So you would hear him coming, I guess. Next, the engraved gold plate that was on the top of the turban, connected to the turban with a blue cord in front of that Aaron's turban. And finally, there's the cloak, the turban, the sash of fine needlework, just intricate, detailed, beautiful work to dress the high priest's vestments. And Aaron was to wear those vestments, those beautiful ornate garments, he was to wear those as he presided over the high priest when he went in to stand before the presence of the Lord, interceding for the people, so that he would not die. covered in that, he would not die in the presence of God Almighty. Because, of course, a sinner cannot stand in the presence of God Almighty. Exodus 28, 35 says it this way. And it shall be on Aaron, this dress, it shall be on Aaron when he ministers. And its sound shall be heard, those bells. Its sound shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, and when he comes out, so that he does not die. Despite all of the beautiful vestments, no matter how real the priesthood of Aaron and his sons, as well as all of the Levites, was, these are really, the priesthood in the Old Testament is really only a shadow of something far more real, a permanent priesthood that never dies, the ultimate high priest whose service endures forever. Of course, that's Jesus, our great high priest. So Aaron's vestments, including the pastor's vestments today, which honestly can get quite ornate and quite beautiful. Think of a chasuble, if you've seen anyone wearing those. Those can be pretty ornate and beautiful, very decked out. These things, though, they are a sign of the beauty of the office that Christ himself has ordained. It is the beauty of the office that he occupies, not something that belongs to him, but to Christ. The office of high priest, the office of pastor, is beautiful because of Christ, our great high priest. Even if the guy in the office might not be all that good looking, maybe even ugly, the office that he holds remains beautiful. Remains beautiful because of Christ. Because of Christ. Well, as you know, Aaron is no longer the one who is interceding between God and man, between us and God. Nor am I, really. Tonight, once again, we behold the man, Jesus. There is the one who intercedes for us, the one who is the priest forever, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, the priestly king of righteousness. Behold the man who intercedes on behalf of men before God Almighty. Behold the God who has become a man, who as a man now intercedes or prays for men and their salvation. Now, who really wants to have an intercessor or a priest or a go-between? A go-between or an intercessor means that there is something insufficient in you in order to go there yourself. You need someone to stand between, to mediate, and to get you there, right? So in this case, having a go-between us and God means the intercessor implies that you cannot get there on your own. You cannot climb the ladder and stand before Almighty Holy God in heaven because you will die. Because you are a sinner. You are a sinner, and you may not stand before God Almighty. You cannot stand before God Almighty. You cannot take your own case to God and try to justify yourself. That only ends in death. The fact that Jesus took upon himself human flesh to be an eternal priest between God and men implies that you're right. You can't. You cannot, you aren't good enough. You cannot earn heaven. You aren't righteous enough. You aren't holy enough. You do need someone. You do need someone to take your case before God, to intercede for you. Behold the man, Jesus Christ. Because if we're honest with ourselves, and if you're honest with yourself, we all know that we can't do it on our own. Who is it that seeks after God perfectly like we ought, that fears, loves, and trusts in God perfectly? Not a single one of us. Whose thoughts are perfect and undistracted when they are praying to God in heaven? Not a single one of us. Whose hatred for, we'll tone that down a little bit, we'll just say annoyance with our other brothers and sisters in Christ, whose annoyance with them doesn't bother or interfere our prayers before God in heaven? Who keeps the Sabbath day perfectly, rejoicing to gladly hear the word of God and hear it regularly? Who does that perfectly? Not one of us. Who loves God perfectly enough to earn the right to stand before him and ask him anything? Not one of us. Who is it that always uses the name of God perfectly and correctly, as they should, and never lets an "oh my God" slip out of their mouth when something doesn't quite go right according to plan? Not a single one of us. Who calls upon God's name as regularly as they should, as the Catechism tells us to, in times of trouble, in times of prayer, in praise, and giving thanks? Not one. You see, you and I are sorry excuses for our own priests. We need an intercessor. Behold the man. Jesus is our perfect high priest. Sinful man cannot approach God, cannot stand before a holy and righteous God on their own, not on their own terms. We need someone to take our place. We need someone to plead our case before God. Behold the man. In Jesus, God, in the flesh, has a voice. He now has a voice, and he can raise that voice before the Father in heaven, as he does in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer. He has hands that he can fold in prayer. He has a head that he can bow correctly and reverently, addressing his Father in heaven. Behold the man who prays perfectly for us, the high priest whose office, whose role it is to pray for you, his beloved dear children. And behold the man who prays without ceasing, eternally, never stopping. And he has hands to raise up in prayer, again, as we heard in John chapter 17. He has eyes that can be lifted up. He has lips that can speak words to his heavenly Father. He has vocal cords that can craft syllables addressing his Father, that his Father will understand far more than you and I can. He is a man. And as a man, he intercedes for us men. And that is good news. For what does he pray, our great high priest? John 17, he prays for his disciples. He prays for his church. He prays for you. Christ Almighty dies, death, resurrection, now ascension. He prays for you. He prays for you. He prays that you would be kept one in the Holy Christian Church, that you would be kept one with him and with one another, perfectly one, united in faith and doctrine and life. He prays that you would be kept safe from the evil one, against the temptations, against his attacks, against all of it, that you would be kept safe in his loving arms. And he prays that you would be kept sanctified, kept holy in Christ and in his word. Because sinners cannot approach a holy God, Jesus intercedes. He intercedes for us. Because in our rebellion, our petitions would only fall on deaf ears. But in Christ, the obedient and the only and obedient Son of God, who has taken on flesh in order to pray for us, he gives voice now to our prayers to our Father in heaven. Since we cannot keep ourselves from sin, rebellion, from idolatry. Jesus prays that the Father would keep you from these things, that the Father would keep you in his name, that he would keep you in the name that he has placed upon you in the waters of holy baptism, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the name which is placed upon you. That he would keep you from the evil one, that the Father would do this, that he would keep you from the evil one, as we pray when we pray the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil or the evil one. Jesus, as perfect man, perfect God in one person, prays for you. Behold the man who prays for you constantly, without ceasing, before his heavenly Father. So in Jesus, who prays for you without end, you're no longer rebels. You're no longer in rebellion against your heavenly Father. You're no longer sinful outsiders, where if you come too close to his presence, you will be killed. You are no longer unable to bend your heavenly Father's ear so that he will hear your petitions, hear your prayers. In Christ, united to Christ, your intercessor, your high priest, you now have access, direct access, to your Father who is in heaven. You're in Jesus. And in Jesus, who prays perfectly, not because you or I pray perfectly, but because he does. And because you're in Jesus, your prayers now to your heavenly Father are perfect, because they are asked through Jesus, your great high priest. In Jesus, and united to him in his death and resurrection, now, because Jesus lifts up his hands in a holy prayer to his Father perfectly, now your prayers, your hands are lifted up perfectly. Because Jesus' voice is perfectly attuned to his Father in prayer, so is yours. Because Jesus is the man who intercedes for the rest of mankind, all of mankind, as a man, now you have hope. You have hope that you will not be killed, you will not be smited by your heavenly Father, but you will be welcomed as a dear child. You have a Lord who prays for you. This is incredible good news. You have a Lord who prays for you. You have a man who came to redeems men. You have a God who became a man for you. You have a Savior. You have an intercessor. You have the man on the cross and risen for you. Behold the man, the great high priest, who prays for you perfectly, without ceasing. The priest who wants you to know that he loves you. And he now invites you to pray to your heavenly Father and call upon his name in every time of trouble, in prayer, praise, and in giving thanks. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.